Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning again, as we are gathered in your house. The entrance of your word always, we know, brings light. May that light enter into our lives this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. May the Lord be glorified in the message of the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Amen. Now, a brief message this morning. And I'm going to challenge everybody with this message this morning. The title of my message is Dare to Believe. Amen. Can you dare to believe this morning? You know, I'm going to challenge everybody to dare to believe the Lord this morning. I will start at Mark chapter 9, and I'm going to read two verses there, and I have a few scriptures, and then we'll see what the Lord has for us in this message this morning. Mark chapter 9, and verses 23 and 24. Dare to believe this morning. Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Basically, he gives you what I consider to be the background to this message. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst only believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Amen? Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Now, feel free to say amen. You know, and straight away the father of the child cried out, and he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. So, we're going to challenge ourselves this morning to dare to believe the Lord. In John chapter 11 and verse 40, Jesus said, now this was the story of Lazarus that had died, and Jesus went over there. And one of his sisters came to him and said, well, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died, and all of that. And here's what Jesus said unto her in verse 40. Said I not unto thee, Jesus said, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. So if you can only believe, in one verse he said, all things are possible. In another verse he said, if you can only believe, you will see the glory of God. Now, the glory of God comes in the supernatural. God walks in the supernatural. God specializes in those things that we call impossible. Amen?
Amen.
But with God, there is nothing impossible. Might be impossible to me, might be impossible to you, but not with God. So we're going to talk about that this morning. Now, there are many examples of people that dared to believe God in the Bible. You know, but we're going to consider just a few of them. You know, there are, you know, all over the Bible, cases where they dare to believe God. Now, we're talking about believing God in situations that are against all odds. You know, against all odds. I mean, when it just couldn't possibly come together, humanly speaking. If you dare to believe God in such a situation, what will the end result be? That's what we're talking about this morning. There are situations that you may find yourself in where the world seems like your world is caving in. It looks like there is no hope. I mean, but believing even against hope, daring to believe this morning, let's see what the Lord will do for you. Amen?
Amen.
Here are some examples. In the story of Abraham, I'm going to paraphrase the story, how God came and told him that, his wife Sarah would have a child later on in life. You know, Abraham was 90 years old before he finally got that promise. Sarah was, many years old and all that. You know, but God gave Abraham a promise. And against all odds, even when Sarah was way past her age, Abraham believed. Now let's see how the scripture depicts that. I'm going to read, not from Genesis account, but I'm going to read it from Romans chapter 4. If you want to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 4, I'm going to read from that account. So in Romans chapter 4, I'm going to start at verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed. He was talking about Abraham believing God. He believed God who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. I mean, God can take things, you know, that are even not there and call them out. Amen?
Amen.
That's right. Who against hope, now Abraham against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. He said, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, now this kind of daring to believe is not, you know, any kind of weak faith, you know. He considered not his own body now dead, you know, I mean, 100 years old already and so forth, you know, and Abraham, I mean, and what's her name, Sarah, already 90 years old, you know, and so on. And he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. I mean, at 90 years old, you know, people would have said, well, this woman couldn't conceive. You know, and even Sarah herself in the story, when the Lord announced to her that she would have a child that late in her 8 years, she kind of laughed about it. You know, they laughed about it. They thought it couldn't happen, you know. But the Lord said it was going to happen. And so we're told that Abraham, against hope, he believed. Even not counting his own body that was 100 years old, or even the deadness of his wife's womb at 90 years old, but he believed God. And guess what happened? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, that is, what God had promised, he also was able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, what God has promised, he was also able to perform. Here's what happened in the story of Abraham. Most likely happened. You know, at first his name was Abraham. And then when the Lord gave him this promise that he was going to be the father of many nations, you know, at that time his wife didn't even have a child, you know. And then God said, change your name to Abraham, which means father of many nations. You know, God also changed his wife's name. And so you can imagine Abraham going about in his day. He didn't have a single child, you know, and he was calling himself father of many nations. You know, and he would go around and say, father of many nations. That's my new name. The Lord told me so. You know, and you can imagine the people possibly laughed him to scorn. You know, they would laugh at him and say, well, we always knew you were crazy, but we didn't even think you were this stupid. You know, now, look at us. Look at all our children all around us. We have all these kids around us. We don't even call ourselves father of nations. And look at you. You don't even have a single child, father of nations indeed. And they would mock him every day, possibly, you know, but Abraham, the Bible says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. But he was strong in faith. He dared to believe against all the odds. He was so old, his wife was past the age and everything, but because God said it, he said, I believe it. And he began to even broadcast it. He began to proclaim it before it happened. He changed his name. He said, the Lord told me so. He said, well, you know, we don't know which the Lord told you, but that's probably the devil that told you. You know, they told him all kinds of things. But Abraham said, I know who I have believed. I know he told me so. And so he carried on like that for 25 years. 25 years he carried on like that. And the promise seemed like it was dead. But I guarantee you, if you remember the message that we preached here in the church one time, a lot many years ago, and you can find it on the website at gmichurch.com, that the word always sustains itself. Once spoken, the word of God will sustain itself. You know, that word carried out, you know, just like that. And at the end of the story, Abraham, you know, his wife Sarah actually did conceive and brought forth Isaac. Now, along the way, they thought it was going to come through a different way, and they even tried to scheme something else. You know, that's not my story this morning, but that wasn't the way. What God promised that was coming through Sarah, God brought it about, and Abraham kept believing even against all odds. So that was the story of Abraham in the Bible, how he believed against all odds. I have a couple more cases that I want to share with us here. There's a story of in the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Now, in this story, in Daniel, chapter 3, the king of Babylon had made, you know, some regulations and some laws and so forth like that. You know, that, you know, anybody that, you know, worshipped, you know, God or somebody else, you know, would be thrown into the fire. And they didn't do a certain thing that he wanted them to do. He wanted them to worship, you know, his thing, you know, serve his idols and everything like that. You know, bow down, worship the king. You know how they did in those Babylonian days. Some of you may or may not know the story, but I don't have time to go into all that story this morning. You know, various kings came through there and always tried to make them do various things. You know, like one time they tried in the time of Daniel, tried to make him worship a golden image. In the time of these Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in Daniel chapter 3, you know, it was something else. It was the, in the time of Daniel, it was the lion's den that was the penalty of death if you didn't worship the golden image. In the time of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it was they were to be thrown into a fiery furnace if they didn't do as the king commanded them to do. You know, which he said, no, if any time you hear this kind of music, you know, that we're playing to, you know, our gods and so forth like that, then you must worship and fall down. And so these three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they wouldn't do it. So the law caught up with them and said, well, how come you won't do it? So they gave them a last chance. When you hear this music, you just fall down and worship God. I mean, worship our gods and our idols, and everything will be fine. And they said, no, we're not going to do it. Now, so let me read it to you. Verse 17 of Daniel chapter 3. And then they said, under the penalty of death in the fiery furnace, if you don't fall down and worship when you hear this music, you will be cast into the fiery furnace. So here's what they said. Verse 13 of Daniel 3. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us. You know, so they dare to believe against all odds. Now they are facing certain death. They are going to be cast into the fiery furnace. They said, no. You know, they said, but if not, even if God chooses not to deliver us, but we know he will, you know, let it be known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods. And we will not worship this golden image that you have set up. And when you play this music, we are not going to bow down to it. You know, so. And the king was furious, and they threw them into the fire, and all of that. And they heated up, commanded the thing to be heated up 7 times. So they heated it up and threw them into the fire. Now, the flame being so hot, and the commandment of the king being so urgent, the people that threw them in did not even have time to protect themselves. They themselves were engulfed by the flame. Because of the urgency of the command, throw them in right now. You know, and then they were engulfed. And when they threw these three young men in there, bound with their foot and hands and so forth in the fire, the next thing you know, they are walking around in the fire. Hallelujah! Praise God. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for that. Yes. They are walking around in the fire. And they are loose and walking around and so forth. And the king, he looked and he said, whoa! Did we throw three men in there? How come I see four people? Hallelujah. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with you. When you go through the fire, I will be with you. And he was right there with them. And he said, this fourth person that I see looks like the Son of God. He never seen God. He didn't even know the Son of God. But the Lord, he spoke through him right there. That's right. And he said, wow, I've never seen anything quite like this. You know, those young men, they dared to believe God. And the Lord did not let them down. How many of you say praise the Lord? Many wonderful stories like that. I'm going to tell you a few more in the Bible, you know, just so you see that this faith, when you dare to believe, it actually works. There's a story of two other young men called Joshua and Caleb. I will paraphrase that also. When When the children of Israel went down to Egypt in the days of Joseph, they were there, everything was fine. But when that Pharaoh that knew Joseph died, they became slaves and they were tormented and so forth like that. And then God sent a deliverer, Moses, to bring them out of bondage, slavery, and take them to the promised land that God had promised to give them. And, you know, while they were going towards the promised land, at some point in time, Moses, he decided to send a few people to go and spy out the land where they were going. You know, so he sent a few people and said, well, you go check out the land and come and give us a report. So you can read that story, but I don't have time for the entire story. But it is in the book of Numbers, chapter 13. So he sent out, you know, some people to go and check out the land and bring a report of the land. And here's what happened. Now, but the people, there were two young men among those people that he sent out. Their names were Joshua and Caleb. And then there was a bunch of other people. Now, Joshua and Caleb, unlike the others, believed God. They dared to believe that they could go in and take the land. But the others, here's what the others said. I'm going to read in Numbers chapter 13, and I'm going to read verse 32. And they brought an evil report of the land which they had searched out. And they said, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. You know, so they contradicted themselves. They said the land eats the people up, and yet the people are giants, you know. And our unbelief will get you all twisted up. Unbelief will get you all confused. But here's what Caleb said in verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once.
Hallelujah.
And possess it. For we are well able to overcome all of that. How many of you say amen?
Amen.
Caleb dared to believe. I'm going to show you what happened to Caleb at the end because of, you know, how he dared to believe. You know, so they, and then listen to what Joshua said in Numbers chapter 14, verse 6. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, you know, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched out the land, rent their clothes, you know, because all the people, their hearts melted when they heard about the giants and the people, you know, the land eating them up and all that and so forth, which was false reports, you know, because they didn't see the hand of the Lord that will give them the victory according to his promise. All they saw was the difficulties and the problems and the challenges that were on the way. You know, so what do you see when you are in your difficulty? What do you see when you are in your trials? What do you see when you are in your challenges? Do you only see the problems or do you see the promise? How many of you say amen? Now, some people will only see the problems, but the eye of faith can see the promise. So I'm challenging everybody to dare to believe this morning to see the promise rather than just the problems. Now, here's what Joshua and Caleb said. Verse 7 of Numbers 14. And they spake unto all the company of these children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is exceedingly a good land. See? So he's telling the people, look, don't be afraid of all those evil reports that you're hearing. He said, if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that is flowing with milk and honey, just like the Lord promised. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. See, and don't be unbelieving in your hearts. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. We're going to eat them for lunch. How many of you say amen? Now that's some people that dare to believe. They didn't care how the land was and how giants and all the armies that were there and so forth. They said, no, the Lord is with us. And we will go forth. These people are lunch for us. We are going to eat it up. Their defense is departed from them because the Lord is with us. They dared to believe because of the promise of the Lord. And said, therefore, fear ye not them. We are able at once to go up and take this place and conquer it and so forth like that. Well, the people didn't believe God at all. In fact, they told Moses, they said, look, you know, were there no graves in Egypt that we could have died there? Should have left us in Egypt. Why'd you bring us out here to come and die by the hands of all these nations and so forth like that? You know, and the Lord made sure none of them All those people that didn't believe, none of them got to the promised land. Now, here's the statement of Caleb in Joshua chapter 14. I want to read that to you real quick. Finally, when they did get into the promised land, the new generation, which was Joshua and Caleb, and the new generation, all the old people that came out, they all died in the wilderness because they didn't believe anything. But God decided to take the two people that believed with a new generation that came after them. Joshua and Caleb and the young generation, they went into the promised land. And finally, when Joshua, according to the precepts that Moses had given them, how to divide the land after they had conquered the land and God had driven away all their enemies and so forth, and Joshua was about to divide the inheritance of the land, like Moses said, here is the claim that Caleb made. Joshua chapter 14 and verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Now thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and you. And back in the days when we spied out the land, he reminded Joshua. He said, Look, I was 40 years old then, when Moses the servant of the Lord sent me and you to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people to melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God.
Hallelujah.
And Moses swore unto me that day, and saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance.
Hallelujah.
And thy children's forever.
Amen.
Because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. And so he began to lay his claim and said, And the Lord has kept me alive. And all these 45 years, so 40 years old he was then, and now he's 85, Caleb. And he's making this claim. He said, Look, you know, I was 40 years old, and 45 years have passed, and I'm 85 and so forth. He said, As I was then, I guess I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength to go out for war and to come in the same. At 85, this was a man that dared to believe. This is what faith will do for you. Amen. If you dare to believe God, faith will renew even your youth. Oh yeah, but if you don't believe God, you're going to grow old very quickly. And you're going to perish in the way. Now this man, he dared to believe God. And even at 40, from 40 to 85, 45 years, he was saying, Look, I've got the same energy now that I had 45 years ago. And I can still go in and out for war the same way. And I know that I can still do more exploits. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And he said, Now therefore give me this mountain. And you heard me preach that about 2 years ago. I preached a message on the title of Give Me This Mountain. That's also on the internet. He said, Well, the Lord has spoken of. See, his faith gave him the inheritance. And he said, If the Lord so be with me, I will drive everyone out. Verse 12, as the Lord has said. So Joshua blessed him and so forth like that, and he gave him Hebron for an inheritance. And Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb and all that, because that he believed the Lord his God. How many of you say glory to God for that? That's right. Faith in somebody that dared to believe will bring positive results. And we've seen how it did for Abraham. We've seen how it did for the three Hebrew boys. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We've seen what he did for Joshua and Caleb. And let's see a few more examples here. There was a story in the Bible in Matthew chapter 8 of a man called the centurion. Centurion was one of those Roman soldiers that had, you know, like 100 soldiers, was a captain over 100. That's why they called him centurion. In Matthew chapter 8, this man's servant was sick. So sick that he was almost dying. So this man had heard, you know, of all the great things that Jesus was doing and so forth. You know, so here's what happened. Matthew 8 and verse 5. And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, you know, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him, you know. Jesus, you know, Bible says, He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. anybody that comes unto him, he will help. You know, so, but here's what the centurion said. You know, he has to believe God. You know, he went beyond. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, I am not even worthy for you to come under my roof. You stay right there. And you speak the word only. Oh, yes. He said, for speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And he went on to say, look, I am a man that's under authority. I know how it works. You know, I'm in the chain of command. When I give a command, all these people that are under me, they must obey. There's no question about it. You know, because the man was a captain of 100 in his battalion and so forth like that. And, you know, every time he gave a command, he knew how it worked. You know, they had to obey. There was no questions asked. And he said, you know, I can tell one go, and he goes. I can tell the other do this, and he does, and nobody asks me any question. I know exactly how it works. And I know that you, Lord, are also in the spiritual powerful the same way. All you got to do is say the word, and it shall be done. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This man, he used even his own situation, his own circumstance, events around him to understand the workings of God. You know, he looked and said, well, you know, if I being a man, I can command this and that, and everybody does just what I command, you know, well, you know, then you, being the Lord, you can certainly speak the word only. And here's what Jesus said. When Jesus heard it in verse 10, he marveled and said to them that were following him, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. This man, he dared to believe God, even beyond. And Jesus said, you know, here's what he said concerning this kind of faith. Verse 11. I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west. Many of you who are sitting here today are these same people that Jesus was talking about. And they shall sit down with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob.
Amen.
And in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
And the very children of the kingdom will be cast out because of their unbelief. But you must believe God. If you believe God, there is nothing that you cannot accomplish. Jesus said, when the children of the kingdom that ought to have had the kingdom in the first place, when they are cast out, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But for those that can believe God, all things are possible. Amen?
Amen.
There's a story of Paul was facing shipwreck in Acts chapter 27. I don't have time to read the whole story, but I will read one verse to you in Acts chapter 27. He was facing shipwreck, and all the people that were with him, and in one evening, they were on the ship for days, and the tempest was raging, and it was just like a perfect storm. I mean, they couldn't go anywhere, you know, and everybody was panicking and so forth. The angel of the Lord appeared to Paul that night, and he said, don't worry, there will be no lives lost, but they must stay in the ship. And they must stay in the ship. Now, here's what Paul said to them in Acts chapter 27 and verse 25. Here's what he said to them. He said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. He said, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Now, what did God tell him? Here's what God told him in verse 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve. Saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and so forth. And God has given thee all them that are with thee, you know, are sailing with you. God has given them to you. So, in the midst of the tempest and their life being in peril, you know, for, you know, to be destroyed in the storm and everything, Paul said, I believe God. He said, for you guys must stay in the ship, you know. And as he believed God, the story went on that the ship was tossed up and down and so forth and ended up, you know, somewhere, and they were all saved and nobody died. How many of you say praise the Lord? In the book of Luke chapter 1, Mary, the angel came to announce to her that Mary, as the story goes, was a young virgin that had not been with any man. And the angel of the Lord came to her, announced to her that she would conceive, because the prophet said, behold, a virgin shall conceive. In the book of Isaiah chapter 7, you know, but he said to Mary, you know, you will conceive and you will do all these things and so forth like that. And Mary said, whoa, you know, I haven't even been with a man, you know, how can I conceive? And the angel of the Lord said, the power of the Lord shall overshadow you, and then all of these things will take place. And here's what he said. This is why it is so important for you to believe the word of God. Luke chapter 1 and verse 45. Here's what it's, you know, said. And blessed is she that believed, and there shall be a performance of those things which are told her from the Lord. When you believe the Lord, God will perform those things that he told you. If you can dare to believe his promise, regardless of the problems, look for the promise. Don't look at the problem. Don't look at your situation today. Just look for the promise of God. There is hope today, and God will help you. How many of you say amen? Now, when you are believing God for anything, sometimes you may be believing for, you know, things that are even seem impossible. You need to leave it in God's hands. Now, Jesus, he told many parables to illustrate many things about faith and the kingdom of God. And I love to read those parables because they bring out many vital points. I'm going to read a parable to you this morning that Jesus told about faith. You know, this kind of faith that he has to believe God. When you're believing God for something, how should it work? You know, this is the very essence of faith that is given here in this parable that I'm about to read. And it is in Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29. Now, Jesus always, when he told his parables, he would say, now the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is likened unto this and that. And then he would tell the parable. And sometimes he would explain it. Sometimes he would just leave it like that. Sometimes the disciples would come to him and say, explain to us what it means. And then he would explain it. Now, Mark chapter 4 and verse 26. He said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. You know, so Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is likened to a man that wants to plant a seed. And what does he do? Well, when he plants the seed, he sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow, and he knoweth not how. So he just plants the seed, and the earth, he said, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the air. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put it in the sickle because the harvest is come. Now Jesus said, this is, you know, the kingdom of God. And I said, what does this parable got to do with this daring to believe and faith? Well, let me break it down for you. Nobody plants something in the ground one day, and then the next day, they go dig it up to see if it's growing. How many of you understand that?
Yes.
You don't go dig it up. You know, you just planted some corn or whatever, and then, you know, you say, well, you know, I'm going to go see if this thing is growing. Then you dig it up and pull out the seed and say, well, you know, I don't know if it's growing and so forth. Nobody ever does that. You plant the seed, you go on your business, you know. Jesus even said, this man, he planted the seed, and he went home, he slept night and day, and he didn't know anything about it, but that seed bring forth fruit of itself.
Yeah.
You don't need to go dig it up. The word will sustain itself.
Hallelujah.
The word of God always sustains itself.
Yeah.
That seed is your faith when it is mixed with the word of God. Oh yeah. It's got to be mixed with the word of God for it to have any ability to bring forth the desired fruit. The faith of God, the faith, any kind of faith that we have, you know, the faith that we have, in order for it to be valid, must be based on the word of God. So when you plant a seed, you don't go dig it up the next day. You leave it there, and then you, you know, go and sleep and so forth like that. The next thing you know, it grows of itself. But here's something else that you do too when you plant a seed. Here's something else that you do. When you plant a seed, for it to grow, you must plant the seed on good ground. Amen?
Amen.
Now if you go plant the seed in some place that is parched and you know, dry and so forth, it may not bring forth anything. So you find good ground to plant a seed. And if this ground is not good, then you must break up the fallow ground. You have to break it up, and, you know, sometimes they put fertilizers and whatever else and so forth to get the ground ready. And then finally, they plant the seed. You know, and when you plant the seed, you know, then there comes a time for watering the seed, and then there comes a time for, you know, the sunshine to come on it and so forth, and then finally the harvest comes. So there are different stages to the planting of this seed. Now, the seed and the fertile ground go together. You cannot put your faith in dead works or put it in something, you know, that is not from God. That's not going to help you. You must put your faith in the Word of God. Now, when you see the promises of God, then you put your faith right there. You know, so the promises of God are like the good ground. And you sow your seed into the good ground. That's your faith. Now, I'm not talking about money this morning, because every time some people hear about seed, money, you know, they're thinking money. I'm not talking about that. How many of you know I'm talking about faith? Praise the Lord. Amen. And when you sow that seed, I'm talking of your faith in the promises of God, then you've got to water it and so forth like that. You know, watering it, nurturing that faith, you know, you continue to praise Him and worship Him and confess it and so forth like that. You know, Abraham, he continued to confess it until he actually became a reality for him. You know, and so, you know, that's the worship, you know, is the watering it and so forth like that. And then there is the sunshine that must come upon that seed before it grows and all that. And that's like the positive outlook, the positive confession that you give even while you are waiting for the fruit of the faith that you are believing on. Praise God. So when you believe, you find the promises of God, you put your faith in there, you worship and you praise Him while you're waiting for the result, and you have a positive attitude and confessing the promises of God, and the next thing you know, you have a great harvest on your hands. How many of you say amen? Now, a harvest never takes place overnight. Hello? A harvest never takes place overnight. Now, most people, they want to sow something today and reap it tomorrow, or even the next day, or even the same day. No. It doesn't work like that. In fact, you know, if you ask anybody that knows anything about planting at all, you know, you'll find out that sometimes it takes a whole season, sometimes almost a whole year, depending on the kind of crop that you're planting and so forth like that. You know, and you've heard, you know, all these get-rich-quick programs that tell you, you know, you give the Lord X amount of dollars, and the next day, you know, you get this and so forth. That's not anywhere in the Bible. You know, you have got to believe God and stay with God, because God is not obligated to walk on your own schedule. Amen? Amen. Anybody still with me? God is not obligated to walk on your own schedule, but He will sustain His word. You know, God, for 25 years, He gave Abraham the promise. And every year, Abraham said, well, you said according, you know, this and that, the time of life, and so on. You know, only takes 9 months for somebody to get pregnant, you know. Took 25 years for that promise to come to pass. But the Lord, He knows what He's doing. Amen. But Abraham, he stood right there. These things were written for our examples, so that we may have reason to believe. Now, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, you might call that chapter in the Bible the Annals of Faith. It's kind of like the Hall of Faith. You know, the Bible records so many great things that people in the Bible had done, you know, ahead of time, I mean, before that time and so forth. And it starts out by saying, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that you have not yet seen. So when you are believing God, your faith is the evidence that you already have it. So if you say, you know, if you're claiming and believing God according to His promise, then if somebody says, how do you know you're going to have it? You say, because the Lord said so, and I believe it. Amen? Amen? And that's all you really need. Now, the whole of Hebrews chapter 11 talks about so many different people who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, and all of these things and so forth. that they did. Some of them we've already told you today. You know, they did all these things. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but you can read it on your own. Hebrews chapter 11. All these people, they dared to believe God. And the end result was positive from God. Amen?
Amen.
Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. You say it is impossible to please God without faith? Yes. If you don't have faith, if you don't believe the Lord, you know, then you cannot please God. You know, but if you have faith, especially if you have strong faith, Jesus is always amazed. You know, he was always amazed when he saw positive, strong faith. He didn't care too much for the unbelieving, the doubting, and the people that, you know, were fearful and didn't believe anything. He would say, how long have I need to be with you that you still don't believe? But every time he saw powerful faith, every time somebody made a powerful argument, you know, faith before him, he was magnetized to it. And, you know, he was ready to do anything when he saw great faith. Praise the Lord. Can you believe God this morning? Can you believe God this morning? You know, the Bible, all these things that we read in the Bible, they are for our examples. People that have dared to believe God, there are many more, like I said, but I don't have time to go in there, and I didn't want it to be too long a message. There are many more examples in the Bible where people dared to believe God for various things that seemed like impossible, that were against the odds. But the rules of engagement when you're dealing with God are very simple. You must believe his word. Amen? You must believe his word. God is only obligated to obey his own word. You know, and he is. You know, and God, the scripture cannot be broken. If God will break his word, well, you know, then he would no longer be God. It's that simple. Because in the beginning was the word, and the word was God. And so that word cannot be broken. How many of you say praise the Lord? If God has ever promised you anything, believe the Lord. And it will come to pass. Not necessarily on your own schedule, but it will come to pass anyhow. You know, if you can dare to believe, Jesus said, you know, as he was walking towards the grave of Lazarus, saying, if you can only believe, you will see the glory of God. If you can believe this morning, all things are possible to him that believe. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Amen. Will you believe the Lord this morning? Can you believe God? Now I want to challenge you this morning to dare to believe God. Don't look at the problems. Don't look at your circumstances or your situation. But look at the promise of God. He said, the Lord is with us. Our God is our help. Is our refuge. And it's our strength. The Lord said, surely I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Oh, he will help you this morning. Will you believe that the Lord will help you this morning? Can you say the Lord is able?
The Lord is able.
Can you say the Lord is able?
The Lord is able.
The three Hebrew boys, they said, our God is able.
The Lord is
able. They said it. They said, we know he's able to deliver us. And he will deliver us. You must believe that God is able. You know, that is non-negotiable. Amen? That is non-negotiable. You must believe that God is able to do whatever it is that you are believing God for. That's non-negotiable. And when you do that, his name, Jehovah. Oh, yes. He is God Almighty. Oh, he will do great things for his people. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, if you believe that the Lord is good this morning, I want you to shout hallelujah. If you believe the Lord is good this morning, I want you to shout hallelujah. Now, I'm going to pray with you this morning. Now, I want you to dare to believe God this morning. If there's anything at all that you're believing God for this morning, let's believe the Lord together. Amen? Praise God. Now, you come to church not just to be entertained. You come to church to get something from God. Amen? I mean, why come to church at all if you just want to come here to be entertained? You know, I want to get something from God. Praise God. And the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. Oh, yes. You know, so every time we come in there, we sharpen you up a little bit and so forth. You know, ginger you up a little bit to believe God for greater things. Now, I'm not going to ask anybody to come forward this morning, but where you are standing, if you want to believe God for anything at all, on the strength of this word that we have encouraged this morning to dare to believe, I want you to lift up your hand. And I'm going to pray for you. Anything that you want to believe God for this morning, I want you to lift up your hand, and I'm going to pray. Because our God is able. But I want to let you know that you must acknowledge unconditionally that God is able. You must acknowledge that He is able. Let's believe the Lord together this morning. Father, Lord, all the hands that are lifted up this morning, for everything that they are believing God for, we believe together this morning. And we say, Lord, you are able. Everybody say, the Lord is able. Say it again, the Lord is able. Say, the Lord is able. And I want to remind you what Paul said. He said, sirs, I believe God. I want everybody to say, I believe God. Do you believe the Lord, your God, this morning? That He is able not only to do what you ask, but even beyond that. The Bible says He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. If you can think it, God can do more. That's how great the Lord is. If you can even imagine it, He can do more than that. But you must believe it. You must believe God. I challenge you to dare this morning to believe God. Dare to believe God this morning. And God, He will not fail you. He has never failed anyone in the Bible that has believed God. Even when they were about to be thrown to the lion's den or to the fire or whatever, they dared to believe God, and the Lord was with them and He brought them out. If you believe God this morning, no matter what you are believing God for, I am going to release right now. The Bible says, what things soever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And what things soever you set loose on earth shall be loose from heaven. Now I'm going to release today, hallelujah,
amen,
into your life God's power to bring the performance,
amen,
of those things that you are believing God. There's only one condition you must believe this morning. And if you don't believe, or if you are not sure, I want you to say, like, you know, that man that brought his child to be healed, or, you know, of the epilepsy and so forth, and they couldn't do it, you know. All he said was, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. If there's any part of unbelief in me, help me, Lord, this morning to believe completely. I want you to say that prayer this morning. Say it with me, Lord. Say it with me, everybody. Say, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. If there's any part of unbelief in me this morning, Lord, help me to believe completely in Jesus' name. Now, be it unto you according to your faith this morning. If you believe the Lord that God is able to do whatever you are believing for, shout hallelujah! Now, if you believe the Lord that God has already set in motion, now you may not necessarily receive it right after you get out from this service, but He has already set in motion whatever it is that you are believing God for according to His word. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Now, the reason that God sent me here to preach these messages is because He knows what His people need. You know, so when you have this kind of faith this morning, all things are possible to him that believe it. Father, Lord, we thank you this morning. We give you the praise. We give you the glory, Lord. All things are possible to him that believe, and today we believe God. And we know that you are able to make all griefs abound toward us. So that's what the Bible says, that God's able to make all grace abound toward you, so that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. Lord, make your people to have sufficiency in Jesus' name. Wherever there is a lack, may God give the increase in Jesus' name. Everything that you are believing God for, God has already set in motion, and it shall come to pass. Hallelujah. It shall come to pass that the word of the Lord shall be fulfilled in Jesus' name. There is another way that God makes sure that His word in your life is fulfilled, especially when you are believing it. He normally calls the angels. You know, don't think for 1 minute that God, you know, does all these things by himself. You know, that he's got all his angels. Not that he can't do it all by himself, but he likes to give the angels something to do. You know, so he calls those angels and say, want you to go down there, you know, and make sure that what my son is believing for comes to pass.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh yeah. You can put your name there. And he tells the angels on my behalf all the time. I know it. Because he's already shown it to me. You know. And if you believe in God, he'll put your name there. He'll say, I want you to go down there and tell, you know, make sure that whatever my son John, my daughter Mary, whatever they are believing God for, whatever they are believing me for, make sure it comes to pass. You oversee it and make sure it comes to pass. Praise God. And he'll tell the angels also, if there's anybody trying to cover their light, oh, you make sure they don't do it. Because their light must shine. Because the glory of the Lord is come upon them. Oh yes, you know, I can see some hands trying to cover your light. It cannot happen. The glory of God is come upon you. And you must arise and shine. And the Lord, he will discharge the angels to make sure that the things that you are believing God for, that they take place in your life. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Praise God. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Will somebody give a shout out to Jesus this morning? Come on, give a shout for Jesus.